As the 2024 campaign gets on way, much of the discussion is about who will win, and if you seem to know who will win, then how many seats will that side win? And sides are making claims and counterclaims. Mostly the BJP is making claims as yet. 370 for themselves, 400 overall in alliance for NDA. However, if you lift the layer of the fight for the big prize in terms of who will get a majority, you also see many other significant changes in national politics. These changes will impact not just this election, but they will have a long-term implication for our politics as it plays out nationally and also in many key states. One of these phenomena that we are going to examine today is just the terminal decline, what seems like terminal decline of some important political parties. And there are many of them, but for now, I have chosen three. These three are important, and the reason I've chosen these three and not some of the others, although I might mention their names in the passing, is that each one of these three parties has held power in its state at some point of time, mostly by itself, in two cases by itself, in one case in partnership with a much smaller ally in the state. So which are these three parties? The first is Bahujan Samaj Party. Bahujan Samaj Party came to power in Uttar Pradesh in 2007 with 206 seats, majority of its own. This is after many governments that lacked majority. She came into power with the full majority, mainly because Mulayam Singh Yadav had got people so upset with the law and order situation, and there was plenty of other grievance. So she defeated everybody, Mulayam Singh Yadav, BJP, obviously Congress, and she got 206 seats, which is clear majority, and 30.43% vote. That's been her peak. So that is BSP in Uttar Pradesh. She was chief minister by herself with a full majority for 5 years. She's been chief minister before that in partnership with others, usually the BJP. So multiple times chief minister. So that's one party we are looking at. The second such party we are looking at in this order is BRS. BRS as in Bharat Rashtra Samiti, used to be TRS, Telangana Rashtra Samiti. Obviously, the change of name did not work for it. I don't know if KCR, who is supposed to be quite superstitious and believes in a lot of puja paath and tantra mantra, I don't know if he will blame his fate on numerology in some way. But he is also looking at a very dire situation. And again, he's held chief ministership. He's held power by himself twice in his state, 2014 to 2018, and then 2018 to 2023, until he lost to the Congress party. That is the second one. The third one we are picking is Shiromani Akali Dal. What this also does is, this takes us to different parts of the country. Uttar Pradesh, Telangana, and Punjab, like that. So three very different geographies in the country. Shiromani Akali Dal has held power multiple times in Punjab, sometimes by itself, and sometimes in partnership in the past with the left parties also, sometimes and lately in partnership for about two decades in partnership with the BJP. In partnership with the BJP, but with the BJP as a very junior and secondary partner. So mostly it was an Akali Dal government. The chief minister was from the Akali Dal. In the process, Shiromani Akali Dal also produced a dynasty of its own, a multi-generation dynasty of its own, between Sardar Prakash Singh Badal and his son Sukhbir Badal, besides many other members of his family who also joined politics. And at some point, about four or five of them at various points had cabinet positions or cabinet rank positions in the government. So that is the third party which has ruled a state which seems to be in decline right now. Now, I used the expression terminal decline earlier. In politics, things can change dramatically. Parties have been seen to be in terminal decline, say Telugu Desam Party in Andhra Pradesh in the past. It looked like there was no hope for it. And that YSRCP was very powerful and TDP had weakened so much that nobody would even find it to be a worthy ally. But now, in partnership with BJP, we never know. Their vote percentage may go up, their seats may go up. They might do better in Lok Sabha. In any case, TDP now has a big ally, a big brother ally. So it has a chance of reviving itself, particularly as opinion polls are telling us. that YSRCP or Jagan's party is not as popular as it used to be. There is quite a strong anti-incumbency there. So a party that goes into terminal decline, that looks like it has gone into terminal decline, can also have the hope of staging a comeback. So you can't write it off. At the same time, you do your analysis based on the facts as exist today. And you can also see some indications. First of all, look at Bahujan Samaj Party. In 1996, the party was still in the growth phase. BSP, the party founded by Kanshiram in 1984, his anniversary just passed, in fact, earlier in the week, 1984. By 1996, 67 seats with 19.64% of the vote. Let's round it off and say 20% of the vote. That is 1 in 5 voters in UP voted for Mayawati's party in 1996. In 2002, its seats went up to 98 and vote percentage went up to 23. 2007 was the high point of BSP. 2007, it got 206 seats with 30.4% of the vote. I'm not rounding it off because, one, it's close to the half a percentage mark, 30.4. And also because this shows that how in a three-way split or maybe three and a half-way split, in this case, between BSP, SP, Congress Party and BJP, in a three and a half-way split, 30% or 30.5% can also give you a majority in a state. And I will soon come to why this is so significant and why this has changed the politics of these states fundamentally. 2012, again, the party lost power. Anti-incumbency hit it. It lost power to Samajwadi Party, the traditional ally, but still got about 26% of the vote. By 2017, it had declined. It had declined further. So what was 80 seats with 26% of the vote in 2012 became just 19 seats with 22% of the vote. And that's the point I had made just now, which is why I said that it's significant that I explain what is the meaning of a three and a half way split. Because what has happened between 2012 and 2017? That while in 2012, 26% vote got it 80 seats, now 22% plus vote got it only 19 seats. That's because the BJP began to rise. BJP began to rise dramatically. First under Mr. Modi, subsequently in subsequent elections, also under Yogi Adityanath, which is something we saw in 2022. As BJP's vote percentage went up and in fact started inching close to the 50% mark, it became evident that the era when you could get a majority with just about 30% of the vote, or you could get close to power or a significant number of seats with over 25% of the vote, that era was now over, because one party was getting nearly 50% or upwards of 40% vote. So the state was no longer a three and a half way split state. It became more or less a straight fight state. Straight fight means a fight between the BJP and any of the others who might have been in an alliance. And at various points of time in Uttar Pradesh, we have seen Congress and SP. Right now, it's Congress plus SP. We've seen SP plus BSP, which was the case in the 2019 Lok Sabha elections. Sometimes RLD also joins them. So basically, it's a polarized fight between two alliances, NDA, and you might call it UPA, you might call it India Alliance now. That is where BSP has become marginalized. Again, see what's happened to BSP's vote percentages, and then we'll tell you what's happening to its personnel. So what was 22% plus vote in 2017 assembly elections got reduced further to 12.88. All right, let's say 13% vote in 2022 assembly elections. So what has happened between 2007, 30.5%, to 2022, 13%. The party lost 60% of its vote share. Party was 60% off peak, off the 2007 peak. And if you see the pattern is of consistent decline. So it's not as the party declines, goes up a little bit, declines, goes up a little bit. No. There is no redemption. With each election, you have seen the party decline. 2019 Lok Sabha elections, it was in partnership with Samajwadi Party. It got actually 10 seats. It got more seats, twice as many seats as Samajwadi Party, because vote transfer took place from both sides. Samajwadi Party's votes went towards BSP. Some of BSP's votes went towards Samajwadi Party. BSP benefited more, so it won 10 seats with 19.5% of the vote. Not bad, you might say, considering that it had got the same percentage of vote, 19.6%. Exactly the same percentage of vote, almost to the last decimal point. 19.6% versus 19.6% in 2014 versus 19.43% in 2019. But in 2014, with the same number of votes and the same percentage of votes, how many seats did it get? It got zero seats. What does it tell us? It tells us that the BSP might still have some residual vote, some residual committed vote. But it's a bit like the Congress Party's residual committed vote across the country, which is about 19.5%. That, if it spread out, in case of the Congress, it spread out all over the country. So it only gets it anywhere between, say, 44 to 50 something seats, right? Out of 543. It doesn't count for very much because the critical mass of votes is not there in constituencies to tilt the balance there. The BSP similarly has this 1 in 5 vote spread all over Uttar Pradesh. When it's spread all over Uttar Pradesh, it means zero seat. When it's in alliance, say with Samajwadi Party, contests fewer seats, and this percentage comes in those fewer seats where it's more likely to win and vote transfer takes place, it wins seats even with the same percentage of vote. So check again, 2014, 2019, exactly the same percentage of the vote. In the first one, 2014, zero seat, 2019, 10 seats. And that is why it is such a surprise and for BSP supporters, such a heartbreak that Mayawati has now decided not to be in alliance with anybody. She says she will contest by herself. Her party will contest by herself. And so people in her party know that then the chance of their winning anything is almost zero, because they go by the record of 2014, when, if anything, the BJP got fewer votes than they got in 2019. And that is the reason, one of the reasons why so many people from Bahujan Samaj Party are leaving. So first indication is that of the 10 MPs that the party won, the 10 seats the party won in 2019, 4 have already left the party. Of the 4 who have left, 2, Sangeeta Azad and Ritesh Pandey, have gone to the BJP. In fact, Sangeeta Azad's husband, who was an MLA, has also gone to the BJP. She's a Dalit MP. Similarly, one has gone to Congress Party, that is Danish Ali. He is the member of parliament, you might remember, who walked out with the opposition over Mahua Moitra's expulsion in Lok Sabha. And the party, BSP, had taken disciplinary action against him, because BSP has been playing a very, very interesting or very confusing game, or maybe it's confusing itself in the way it's relating to the BJP, because it wants the Muslim vote. Without the Muslim vote, it's nothing. Even if it gets all the Dalit vote, it counts for nothing unless it gets the Muslim vote. So it can't go with the BJP. And yet, if it goes with the BJP gives very little to it, because BJP believes that a lot of the Dalit vote from BSP is shifting to the BJP, especially in Lok Sabha elections. Following the same pattern, Afzal Ansari, member of parliament from Ghazipur, from the famous or infamous Ansari clan, he's joined Samajwadi Party and is going to be their candidate. And a couple of the others, for example, Haji Fazlur Rahman, he has said that he will not be contesting. So that makes it MP number 5, Lok Sabha member number 5 out of 10 for Bahujan Samaj Party. He says he's not going to contest, and he will not contest, but he will back anybody who's more likely to defeat the BJP. So you can read that to mean that he's not going to support the BSP candidate in his constituency, where he might have some support. Another BSP MP, that makes it number 7. Another BSP MP, Shyam Singh Yadav, had joined. He's the Jaunpur MP in Eastern UP. And Eastern UP is one area where particularly Mayawati has been strong, relatively so. he was seen in Bharat Jodo Yatra with Rahul Gandhi. So that's an indication that he hasn't left his party, he hasn't joined the Congress party, but he's searching. What that means is it's like a job application. If he gets a ticket from that side or any side, he might be willing to go, because increasingly people in BSP do not see for themselves the possibility of a revival or of winning again, particularly because BSP has decided to go by itself. So as I told you earlier, you have to be careful using the expression terminal decline, because political parties can show dramatic recoveries, particularly when they have charismatic leaders. Mayawati is a charismatic leader. She is not that old either. She's 68 right now. She has energy. If she decides to again lead from the front, comes back in, maybe she can make a difference. But can she make a difference? Look at her own record. Is she up for a fight? Does she want a fight? When was the last time she contested an election? Think about it. The last time she contested an election, it was in the Lok Sabha poll of 2004. That is 20 years ago. She hasn't contested an election since then. Now, I know the obvious question you will ask me is, but Shekhar Gupta, you just said that she was chief minister with a full majority between 2007 and 2012. So she must have at least contested her assembly election. But no, she ruled as chief minister not because she contested elections and became an MLA, but that's because she became an MLC. She won a membership in the upper house in Uttar Pradesh. So for 20 years, she has not contested an election. And that is not something that political parties and cadres feel very enthused by. And see what else is happening. 5 MPs gone, 3 others cozying up here and there. 2 I counted. Another one is supposedly cozying up to whoever will give him the time of day. It's like a shunting wagon on a railway track searching for an engine. So whatever engine is willing to have it coupled with it, it will couple with that. So that is 8 out of 10 gone. See, on the other hand, the other party, which has been partners with BSP a few times, which has been rival with BSP most of the time, that is Samajwadi Party. Samajwadi Party also won a majority with about 30% of the vote in 2012. With about 30%, in fact, just over 29% of the vote, it got 224 seats. In 2022, in the latest election, it again did not come anywhere close to power, but its vote percentage came back up to 32%. So its vote percentage actually was higher than it was in 2012, where it got a majority. Why did it get so few seats then? It got so few seats then because, as we told you, Uttar Pradesh has become more or less a bipolar state now. So that 3.5-way split is not there. Even if a 3-way split was there, 32% would have given it some kind of an opportunity. Now it's in partnership with the Congress party. Let us see what happens. But the fact is that if you look at this entire equation right now, Mayawati seems to be in not a very good state. And this is a state where 21% population is Dalit. Muslim population is 19.3%. In the past, 2007, for example, she was able to get a bulk of the Dalit vote, which is supposed to be her strength. And she was able to get the Muslim vote to swing to her and also some Brahmin vote, as exit polls showed later. And that took it to about 30%. Right now, it looks like that even the Dalit vote is not only abandoning her, but abandoning her very rapidly. 2022 assembly elections, for example, which she contested by herself, she just got 13% of the vote, which means even if you just look at the overall Dalit vote in the state, just about 60% of the Dalit voters, even if all her voters are Dalit, right? No Muslims, no others have voted for her. About 40% Dalit vote has gone elsewhere. And looks like a lot of it in Uttar Pradesh has gone to the BJP. So that is the reason we say that she's in a very bad situation right now. And Imran Masood, the tall, voluble, very visible leader of BSP from Saharanpur, has already left the party and joined the Congress party. Gudu Jamali, who was a key leader, he contested, in fact, in Azamgarh. Now, Azamgarh is a seat which is considered to be a pocket borough of Samajwadi Party. In Azamgarh by-elections held not long ago, Samajwadi Party lost. And completely unexpectedly, counterintuitively, the BJP won that seat. But the main reason is that Shah Alam, who's also known as Gudu Jamali, in fact, more popularly known as Gudu Jamali, if you go thereabouts and ask people who Shah Alam, they may not know, but Gudu Jamali, they will know. He contested on behalf of Bahujan Samaj Party as the third candidate. So there was a three-way split of the vote and he got 2,60,000 plus votes. And that led to the defeat of the Samajwadi Party candidate and an unexpected win for the BJP. So BSP's power is there, but it's a spoiler's power. It's not a winner's power. That same Gudu Jamali who caused Samajwadi Party's defeat in its stronghold of Azamgarh has now joined Samajwadi Party. Which brings us to the next party, BRS. BRS, once again, BRS, the important difference, say, between BRS and the BSP is that BRS's vote share has declined, but not that much. It did quite badly in the last assembly elections. It lost. Congress Party came into power. Congress Party recovered in the state because it used to be Congress Party's strong regions in the past. But BRS still got 37.3% of the vote. It got 37.3% of the vote. In the previous election in 2018, although it had got 46.87 or let's say 47% of the votes. What was 47 became 37, which means it lost 10 percentage points. Now that's a big fall, but it's not as if the party is getting wiped out. The party is there with 37 plus percent. You are in the ring and up for a fight. That's what happened to the Congress Party in the state. Its vote share never went below about 35%. So it was in the ring and up for a fight. There was always a possibility that one day it will be able to deliver the punches. That will win the bout for it. 2023 assembly elections, Congress Party 39.4, say 39.5, BRS 37. So it's not down and out like that. But see what else is happening at the same time. What else is happening at the same time is that the BJP's vote percentage is slowly climbing up. It's not climbing up so much in the assembly, but it is definitely climbing up in the Lok Sabha elections. And we saw this the last time when BJP won four seats. Nobody expected BJP to win four seats in Telangana. And among the seats they won was the seat where KCR's daughter, Kavita Kalvakuntla, was contesting. And that defeat showed that the BJP was becoming a real force in Telangana. So BJP's vote percentage in Lok Sabha in 2014 was 10.5%. 2019 became almost 20%. And from all opinion polls now, it looks like that this will go up even further. So that is also, that some of that growth also is coming at the cost of the BRS, and that's the reason BRS is in trouble. If you see, 5 of the 9 BRS MPs have already left, and it's possible that others are also flirting. Venkatesh Netha has gone to Congress, B.B. Patil and P. Ramalu have both gone to BJP, and Ranjit Reddy and Pasnuri Dayakar have both gone to Congress Party. So 3 have gone to Congress Party, 2 have gone to BJP. That's 5 out of 10. And looks like some of the others are flirting with Congress or BJP as well. Now, this happens with parties with not really a very strong ideology. In this case, the ideology is just regionalism and the fact that they created the state. They fought for the creation of the state, Telangana state. They won it, so people, voters said thank you very much, and they won 2 elections. But voters want more than that. In the process, this has also become a fully dynastic party. So the father and 2 children, and that causes great disaffection among other MLAs. Also, the big mistake he made was to rename it from TRS, from Telangana Rajya Samiti, to Bharat Rajya Samiti, because he became delusional about the idea that he could become a national leader. And if Modi declines, and if all of the other parties come together and they need a compromise candidate for Prime Minister, and who better than me, KCR, right? Because I am experienced, I've been around, etc. So that is how he's got his comeuppance. And his party right now is in decline. His daughter has been arrested. If you see opinion polls in Telangana right now, the 2 different opinion polls, that is ABP C Voter and also News 18, both are giving him only 2 seats out of 17. 2 seats for the Congress Party. for the Congress party, one poll gives them 10 seats, the other poll gives them 6 seats. For BJP, one gives it 4, the other gives it 8. But the fact is, and both gave AIMIM, Asaduddin Owaisi's party, 1 seat. But the fact is that both polls give BRS only 2 seats. And we can see that some of the MLAs also are flirting with the Congress party. One has already left BRS and he's going to be the Congress party's candidate for Lok Sabha. And chances are that if he wins Lok Sabha, then he will resign his assembly seat. And Congress hopes that it will win there because it has a thinner majority right now. It's trying to make up for that. But basically, it looks like the party is in a meltdown. Terminal decline, once again, I will give you a health warning. We have to be very careful saying those things because people can bring parties back to life. There's every chance now that TDP can come back to life. If you had asked me four years back, 3 years back, even 2 years back, I would have said, looks like it's really, when it looks down the barrel, it sees a dead end. Right now, I would not have said terminal decline because that party also has a vote base and has a cadre, right? Definitely has a cadre and has the ability, its leader has the ability and the skill to form alliances. That's why I would say that BRS is in much greater trouble right now because they've not been very good at making alliances. Also because that arrogance comes from the top. Its leader has been missing in action for months. Nobody can see him. For months, nobody sees him talking. And that is what is causing his cadres and his party people to desert it and look for greener pastures elsewhere. Finally, we come to Shiromani Akali Dal in Punjab. I told you, 3 states in very different parts of the country. Shiromani Akali Dal in Punjab is the preeminent Sikh party or has been the preeminent Sikh party. It draws its power from the Sikh clergy, the Gurdwara. It controls the Shiromani Gurdwara Prabandhak Committee, whose head priest at Akal Takht has the power like the Pope in the Vatican. He has the power to issue encyclicals or ecclesiastical bulls, or the Sikh equivalent of the papal encyclical or ecclesiastical bull called the Hukamnama. And that SGPC, Shiromani Akali Dal, controls because they keep winning those elections. Only Sikhs can vote in those elections. It's a more complicated thing that we'll talk about in future. But this power in Sikh politics has come from SGPC and Shiromani Akali Dal has controlled that. It still controls that. However, it's been losing its vote share. It's been losing its vote share partly because Shiromani Akali Dal also became a family-run party. So Mr. Badal handed over to his son. There were also a nephew, which in the course of time broke away. Manpreet Badal, who was finance minister under the Badal government, he broke away. He joined the Congress party first. First, he was on his own. Then he joined the Congress party. Now he's in the BJP. So that caused a breakup there. But also in the party itself, many others got disaffected and some of the others left. In fact, some have gone to the BJP as well because the alliance between Shiromani Akali Dal and the BJP broke up. That is the next big disaster to visit Shiromani Akali Dal because Punjab is a complex state. No state in India is not complex. But I will tell you in this case, Punjab's complexity. So people might think, oh, Punjab is a Sikh state. The Sikh vote overall in Punjab is just about 60%. The rest, barring a few Muslims here and there and a few Christians, the rest is almost entirely the Hindu vote. So to win in Punjab, you have to get either a lot of the Sikh vote and some Hindu vote, or a lot of the Hindu vote and some Sikh vote. But again, if you look at the Sikh vote, what is the Sikh vote in Punjab? There's no such thing as a Sikh vote because Sikh community also has diversity. So there are Jat Sikhs who are dominant. Those Jat Sikhs, Akali Dal believes, most of them or a large number of them vote for it. But those Jat Sikhs are only about 20% of the population. Who are the rest? The rest are then Dalit Sikhs, OBC Sikhs. Those then appeal to many other magnets of identity as well. So some vote for the Congress party. They've been traditionally voting for the Congress party and many of them have shifted now to Aam Aadmi Party. This is also where the Deras, particularly the Dera Sacha Sauda head, Ram Rahim Insan, they have a big sway, particularly with Dalit castes, Dalit Sikhs and also OBC Sikhs. That's where the Akalis have failed to keep the Sikh vote consolidated. Again, if I give you the data, in 2017 assembly elections, Akalis and BJP were together. They got 25% of the vote. Aam Aadmi Party got also about 25% of the vote. 2012, before that, the Akalis had got 38% of the vote. So from 38%, it comes down to 25%. Then you come to 2022. I'm only looking at assembly vote right now. You come to 2022, Shiromani Akali Dal is now down to 18%. That's a decline. That's a decline over a three-term election cycle. 2022, another reason Akali Dal has suffered is that BJP is no longer its ally. So a little bit of the Hindu vote that might have been transferred to it is not happening right now. And the second thing, of course, is that Aam Aadmi Party has risen. Aam Aadmi Party has risen. It's taken a lot of its vote from the Congress Party. In fact, it's taken a bulk of its vote from the Congress Party. But it's also taken some of the Sikh vote from the Shiromani Akali Dal. That's the reason you can now see that there is a great deal of desperation, much more on the part of the Shiromani Akali Dal than even the BJP, to come back to alliance with the BJP. The fact is that at least on paper, it is Shiromani Akali Dal that had broken the alliance. But if it comes back in the alliance, first of all, Aam Aadmi Party has become so powerful now in Punjab that the odds of even a Shiromani Akali Dal BJP alliance winning many seats is going to be tough. They didn't win many seats in 2019 or even 2014 in Punjab. Modi magic has so far not worked in Punjab. Remember, two favorite candidates of the BJP, two stalwarts, Arun Jaitley in 2014 and Hardeep Singh Puri in 2019, both lost in Amritsar in successive elections. So that's why odds are stacked against Shiromani Akali Dal right now as well. Let us see what happens. And once again, it will be fairly prudent to say that this is one more political force which has ruled a state almost by itself, that's looking at very difficult times right now.